Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Karen, who is here to speak with us about her experience of practicing with chakras through the recent email class. Welcome, Karen.
Thanks, Jen.
Hey.
Nice to be here.
Always nice to be here.
Yeah.
What's that?
I was just going to see if the sound was okay.
I can hear you. Yep.
Perfect.
And you can hear me
okay?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. We'll go.
Yeah. Great.
So we thought we'd start. So the recent email class, in case there are some folks who are not participating, is on energy and specifically talking about the chakras, the centers of energy that run up through the center of the body. And boy, it's just been an extraordinary exploration. And we thought it would be fun to start by looking at the first two and invite you to just talk about what you've seen as we began the exploration with the first two chakras.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, I've seen a lot. And it keeps kind of changing because, I've recorded the classes on my recorder and I listen to it and keep working with it. The first one, for me, the root chakra, with each one we're given, a description. So the root chakra was the center of security, stability, and basic needs. And the challenge was fear, and the awareness practice was the awareness practice focus was unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me with the first one, it started out as sort of a projection exercise and because I projected onto someone else, which kind of went along with my Enneagram type. And and so then I had to bring that back and own it myself. And
yourself projecting a fear? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I was projecting what I saw is that each of these chakras could kind of describe something that someone maybe an issue that somebody is challenged with, and maybe mine's going to be a different chakra than the root chakra. So when I got to the first one, it brought a lot of compassion to, and it was all projection. It just brought a lot of compassion to someone that I projected was kind of working with a lot of things in the root chakra. But having said that, I had to bring it all home and own it for myself, right? It's all just a projection.
Right. It's so funny, isn't it, Karen, that, seem like, often when people learn about projection, there's this sense of like, okay, well, then I got to stop projecting. But, of course, that's not it at all. And when we realize that, we can really use it to our advantage because to kind of have that sense of, oh, yeah, the root chakra, okay, so I bet there's some people who have trouble with that. Not me. I don't. But then when you can see so clearly that, well, here's this person who may actually be really working with that in their life. That may actually be so. But the fact that you can really see that so clearly is such a benefit to you when you know about projection because you can, as you say, bring it all back and then see what's going on inside of you. Yeah.
Yeah. And it brought me to a place of, it brought me to our awareness practice focus for that first chakra, which was unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And it went to this person that I was, it was there for that person. It was there for me because, of course, I know that if I'm seeing it out there, it's really in here. It just did bring a lot of compassion and unconditional love for just all of us and what we work with.
It seems like
each one, we get to kind of work with the energy You know, like get to really pay attention to what it feels like. And with this one, it was separation. And now that I'm saying that, I'm wondering why I was projecting that onto someone else, because I certainly know that place very, very well, and have worked with that a lot in the last year. Uh-huh. And so to really get to hone in and feel what that feels like, and really, get to experience the energy in the body and what happens with that. And then see what it feels like, what the energy of unconditional love feels like. And to be able to, you know, within the, you know, the short time that I'm practicing with that one chakra, I get to experience both those things, and it becomes very, very clear from where I want to live life.
Right, right. And it's so helpful, isn't it, to, at least it has been for me, to work with it on that energetic level, because it feels like it makes it much easier to drop all that meaning in the story that conditioning attempts to attach to it.
Yes. Yeah. Because, you know, if I go with the separation, that's what I saw. I'm just remembering what I saw with this one. To stay in separation, it took a story. You know, I had to be engaged with conditioned mind. If the story wasn't there, then the separation wasn't there. It took that to fuel it, you know, and then came the sensations and the meanings and the whole thing. It had a life of its own.
If the sensations just stay in awareness, then it's all held in unconditional love instead of separation.
It was really fun. And then, of course, there was just the experience of working with it. You know, each chakra had a seed sound. So there was a kind of a sound that we could say. And this one was Lang. Mm-hmm. And there's a color. So, you know, I could get a wear red. That red was the color of the root chakra. Or turn my attention to red. There were just so many ways to work with this and have fun with it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then on to orange.
Yes. yes, on to orange, the second chakra.
Second chakra.
Yeah. This one was really fun for me, because with this one I discovered something that I discovered that I could, when I went through the assignment and worked with it, I discovered what happened for me when I got to the awareness practice focus, which was abundance and generosity, that I actually experienced that in a different place than in the second chakra. Uh-huh. But I realized I could breathe that energy down to that chakra, and I could move that energy around sort of in the body. I could use it, I guess you'd say. That was a really fun thing to see with this one and to kind of work with.
Yeah, that you could really, first of all, it's so fun to be able to find it, isn't it?
Yes.
It has a little home. But that it's happy to expand. We invite it to, it sounds like you're breathing it down into that belly area, that second chakra, second chakra area. And how fun that is to just play with expanding it and moving it around.
And with that, for me, you know, when I was doing that, that's when the creativity sort of came. All of a sudden, ideas started popping in, and you know, things I wanted to do, and excitement, and it just, I don't know, that was just really fun working with that one.
Yeah.
And then, And then, of course, there's, again, there was that, you know, working with the challenge to the guilt and the scarcity and all of that, and seeing what that felt like in the body and you know, experiencing that energy and boy, all those energies of being identified and you know, they're just so they're so limiting. They're just so I just felt like I was in a little box or something, and so it was just it's so fun to just get to you know, to actually branch out into the into the awareness practice focus that we have for each one.
Yeah, yeah. And as you say that, it just it occurs to me that it works in both directions. So we said a minute ago, it's so fun to work with the energy because it feels like it, it much so much easier to let the stories go. But also that in the reverse, so then next time I realize, gosh, I'm feeling like I'm in a little box and it's so limiting, that can be a flag of, wait a minute, I know what this is. And then we can face back and go, well, where is that energy? And can I breathe it down into that second chakra and invite it to be generosity and abundance?
It really, you know, reminds me, or there's a lot of that, you know, moving our attention around in the field of awareness that, you know, we talk about a lot in practice. And being aware, you know, when I'd go into being aware if I was starting to get identified or, you know, being in deprivation or greed or something like that. And being aware of that energy because it just doesn't feel good. And to just stop right there and have that, you know, just be, you know, to be aware and to say, okay, wait a minute. I'm going to breathe and see what's going on here. I'm going to work with this and turn my attention. Okay, now I see I'm in a story and, you know, it's a way out, really. A way out of that suffering.
Yeah, it really is. And it's such a big place in practice when we get to a place where that's the most important thing, you know, so I'm in the middle of whatever I'm in the middle of, and I realize that's happening, and that willingness to stop and do the process that you're describing, that's life-changing. That completely transforms a life experience.
And it's,
well, Karen, we've reached our time. So can you believe it?
No. No. Oh, well, thank you, Jan. That was fun. It's just, it's a wonderful class, and I'm just very much enjoying it. So thank you very much.
Yeah, well, thank you. And, you know, we'll have a number of weeks to keep exploring it together in the class. So very fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with us, Karen. Okay.
Yeah, thank
you. Take care. Good night.
You too. Good night.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Karen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. That was very fun. You know, I currently live in the world of chakras, so it was fun to hear people talk about it. To talk about my world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm good.
Good.
I'm good.
You live in the world of chakras too?
Yes. Yes. Starting at the bottom and coming up, huh?
Right. Starting with one, going to seven.
Yes. Yeah, I'm enjoying the class a lot.
Yeah, and when Karen said that about you know, that sort of goes with my enneotype. I thought, oh, my goodness gracious. We do just come up with any and everything we can come up with to try to look at this stuff, don't we? So we have our chakra orientation, and we have our India type orientation. We have our whatever, and just always trying to look at this through a new lens so that we can get a little distance and some clarity and like that. So it's very fun. I think it's very fun.
Yes. Yes, and my experience really is that practice is endlessly creative in creating new lenses for me to look at all this.
Yeah. So anything fun coming up for us?
Yes, indeed. So do you try to fix your life or yourself so that the undercurrent of something wrong isn't there? Sherry and Ashwini have a new book for you, The Big Bamboozle, How You Get Conned Out of the Life You Want and What to Do About It, reveals what keeps us in dissatisfaction and stops us from choosing happiness and joy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is now available at keepitsimple.org.
Yes, it is. Before anyone else has it, we can have it.
Yes. And mark your calendars for two fun and enlightening appearances by you, Sherry, in the Bay Area next month. On Saturday, December 12th, Sherry, you will be leading a workshop on the Big Bamboozle in Los Altos, California. And on Sunday, December 13th, Sherry, you will speak at the Open Circle Center in Berkeley, California.
Lovely. I like both those things.
Great. Mm-hmm. Virtual meditation groups offer a unique way to support your practice by meditating together with Sangha on a regular basis, no matter where you live. For a complete schedule of these conference call style meditation groups, visit the virtual meditation groups page at livingcompassion.org.
You know, Michael, that is so good, and it's so our practice. You know, in a lot of places, when people get together to meditate, there's a social component to it. You know, there just is. So people will meditate together, and then they have tea and chat, or meditate together, and then they have lunch and chat, or whatever. And of course, we have tea and we have lunch and we meditate, but what we don't ever have is chat. And so a virtual meditation group is just like meditating at the monastery or at a local sitting group or anything else, except you can do it in your jammies if you want, and you don't have to worry about chat, right? You can just dial in and meditate with a group of people, so you're not on your own, and yet you're not seeing anybody. And since we keep custody of the eyes, you wouldn't be seeing anybody anyway. So it really is just absolutely perfect and very supportive. You know, when we make a commitment, it's what we always talk about with sitting together anyway. So if you do have a local sitting group, the voices of karmic conditioning will say, oh, you don't need to go tonight. You know, you're tired, you've been busy, blah, 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 blah. Nobody's going to notice if you're not there. Nobody cares if you don't show up. And, of course, what we realize after we've been practicing for a little while is that's not true a bit. People do notice if we don't show up. It's very supportive to one another's practice to show up. And in the same way, if we make a commitment, even though, you know, I'm doing it on the phone, I'm hearing the bells through the phone and that sort of thing, other people are out there, and I'm making a commitment. At this time, I will show up and meditate with the other people who show up and meditate at this time. And it's a tremendous gift of support and kindness for oneself and for Sangha. So I love that one. I mean, I love all of our practices, but I think that one is just particularly good.
Yes, yes, great, great, yeah. And celebrate a year of practice and welcome a new beginning at the New Year's Retreat, which is December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area.
This is one of our best and most popular, isn't it, Michael?
Yes, best, biggest, most popular.
I think you've probably been to everyone. Is that correct?
Yeah, just about. I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a beautiful location.
It's a phenomenal location. If anybody likes trees, they shouldn't miss this retreat.
Yes.
Menlo Park has some of the most extraordinary trees, I swear, on the planet. And so, yes, it's a beautiful, beautiful location. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and all other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm. You know, if I may, one other thing about that retreat occurs to me, that it is a retreat. It's one of those retreats, and we actually have themed retreats through the year that have the same thing. But it's a retreat that really is suitable for people who are new to practice. If this were their first retreat or first retreat with us, it would be a perfect one to come to. And it's also for old timers. So everything is sort of geared to where anybody is. So it's not so complex and esoteric that somebody who says, oh, no, I'm not going on retreat with those people. They talk about stuff that nobody else talks about. So there's lots of opportunity to get behind the scenes with that. And then also it's very, it's deep practice for people who have been practicing for a long time. So it's a good one. I like that one particularly for that reason. So I just wanted to mention that.
Yes, and it's magical. I don't know how you design it that way, but that seems to be my experience as well, that it's always fresh and it's always new wherever I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and always challenges, right? It always challenges, but it's not overwhelming because, you know, we all are practicing wherever we're practicing. And we might think that, those people are more advanced than I am, or those people are newer at practice than I am, or whatever. But that's never actually an issue because we are always, each of us, just practicing wherever we're practicing. We just prefer to do it together because it's much more fun.
Yes.
We have a good time when we're together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. Yes. Wonderful. And the usual reminders today, if you'd like to talk with Sherry, press *6 and then 1. That's your way to make a show. And focus on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes. So here we go, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jenny from New Mexico.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm all right.
Good. What's going on?
Let's see. This is just one of those checking in phone calls that I just wanted to, I kept thinking for a couple weeks about conditioning and, I wonder if I should ask that on the show. And so I just never called in. And so here I am.
Good.
Yeah.
And so did you decide you should ask that on the show?
No, I don't have anything in particular.
I see.
Well, here we are now.
Right. Well, tell me what's going on then, where we are now.
Where we are is, I don't know, confusion probably. It's been a rough year for me, actually. Last year was pretty good with practice and stuff, and this year was just really, really rough because, I did, you can reach a certain level of consciousness or something like that, and when you meditate and stuff like that, and then I ended up, falling or whatever and losing a whole bunch. And it was just really, really rough. Like, conditioning just, chewed uh-huh. me up and spit me out. Uh-huh. And, literally to the point where my head, like, my brain actually hurts so much. Like, I feel like there's been a war on my brain. It's like, it's really, like, been rough.
And yet, here you are.
Yeah.
Right? You didn't give up. It didn't get you.
No, I still meditate. I still listen to the show, and here I am calling in.
Yeah. Do you get credit for that?
Not all the time. Not all the time. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I do, you know. I'll remember. I'll be like, well, you know what? I'm still practicing. So that's got to count for something, right?
Yeah. Well, given the year that you've had, it counts for a lot.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people who can't stay with practice when there's basically nothing going on.
Yeah.
The to-do list and the I'm too busy and I don't feel like it and the standard ego nonsense. So to really be challenged that way and to stay with it, you need to have a party.
Yeah, because I lost someone in my family and I got really depressed. Mm. Like, I have severe depression and I got really depressed. And then, you know, mm-hmm. just like everything hit the wall. And but, you know, you just got to keep going on, you know, with practice and stuff. And you do find out, like, what they say, what you guys say about, you know, you practice for when things like that happen,
yeah.
you know, so that you do
yeah.
have a certain level of awareness, like I'm aware of what is happening to me, you know?
Yes. Oh, my God. That is so important, isn't it? The difference
yeah.
between being caught in it and believing that all of this is real and it's the only reality versus I have enough distance that I can watch what's happening to me. Oh.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, the relief of that second place. I mean, it doesn't make it go away, right? It doesn't make it pretty
right.
or easy.
You're
but
still
at
in the
least
storm.
You have that distance.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the way it was. You know, I knew what was happening. I knew the conditioning was, I was in, you know, a battle with it. I knew that, that part wasn't real. I even knew that, you know, it would say self-hate. And I was like, that's not me. I love myself because I'm the one who's still trying to keep my ship afloat. I'm still practicing. I'm still taking care of myself. So I love myself. I'm doing all that stuff because I love myself. And it's not self-hate. It's ego hate. And, you know, that's what it is. I knew that it was doing that.
Wow.
And that's because of practice.
Yeah. That is just so big, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
it really is everything. We can see, those of us who are given to depression, that to be identified with that hatefulness when there's so little energy and everything looks so bleak and miserable, we can see why people would decide to kill themselves.
Oh, yes.
Because,
definitely.
Yeah, because that's all there is. But when we have that distance, we realize, no, that's not all there is. And the step that you have taken to realize that's egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate saying that and doing that. That's not me. Oh, my
right.
gosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that was ego. I was just like, you know, and even when it was chanting away back there, you know, I want to kill myself and all that stuff, I was just like, that's ego. That is not me. You know, I'm the one who's taking care of myself. I know that's ego saying that, trying to convince me that it's me, but I know that's not me, you know. I know
wow.
that's not me.
That is some good practice you're doing, girl.
Yeah, yeah. It
Boy, I'll tell you, I wish everybody could get it. I wish everybody in the world knew that, what a different world it would be, to know that stuff is not me. That conversation, that crapola is
right.
not me. It's ego to be able to step back and see it and hear it like that. Wow. And so I'm guessing that at this point you're really seeing it lose power over you.
It did. You know what? It did.
Yeah.
There was a point where I wasn't able to really get out of bed and stuff, but I didn't give up. And I, the whole time I knew that, you know, I was disidentified because I had a solid practice the year before. I mean, just it was really awesome. But
you still do.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I say it's even more awesome because you know that it can sustain you through as dark as it gets.
You know, that's just amazingly true. And it really, mm-hmm. really is true because it did. And
yeah.
it does help. It helps you not to get as depressed. It helps you to be able to say, you know, there is light at the end of this tunnel, you know? And
mm-hmm.
it's just and
mm-hmm.
it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
This dark page isn't me. It's something else, you know?
Yeah, it's something that's happening to me, but it's not me.
Right, yeah, it's like you're going through a physical illness. You're able to watch
mm-hmm.
the body, you know, have these physical symptoms. You're able to deal with these physical symptoms because you're able to be there for yourself
mm-hmm.
instead of, you know, dropping into, you know, I hate myself, life is awful, this is horrid. You're able
mm-hmm.
to say, no, it's not. And by not getting identified in the story, you're able to pull back and have compassion for yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, you know,
wow.
like being there for yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that's a marvelous thing. I'll tell you, it makes me so incredibly happy for you because I know you're going to be fine no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't mean that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is going to say, well, she won, so we're going to go
no.
away. You know, it's in its job description to keep coming back and trying to get you and trying to get you and trying to get you. But at this point, it's gone from, let's see, what would a good image be? You know, a lion, a hungry lion in full charge to a mosquito. You know,
yeah.
it's annoying. It you wish it weren't there. But it's not
right.
life-threatening.
Right. And, you know, I'm always watching out for the lion, too, because it does try and convince me that, you know, you've won kind of thing, but I'm never buying into that story, ever.
Nope.
I'm always...
If it could have gotten you, it would
yeah.
have.
Yeah. And it kind of did, because, like, what led to that whole fall was a big, huge, like, bamboozle kind of thing that you're always talking about, and just, like, I don't know, it just kind of convinces you, like, that everything's going to be okay and stuff like that. But having watched
You don't have
that,
to pay
like,
attention. Everything
yeah.
is fine. You're to the other
yeah.
side. It's bright sunshine now. You can go to sleep.
Exactly. Yes. I picture, like, you know, the guy pushing the boulder up, like, this mountain. I'm like, if you
mm-hmm.
take your eye off that boulder, I know exactly what's going to happen to me now.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
And it really feels that way. So I'm like,
mm-hmm.
having witnessed this whole thing, I'm like, I know now, never, ever, ever take your eye off the lion or that boulder. Ever.
That's right. Ever. That's why, as we're fond of pointing out, as far as we know, this is true, the Buddha was practicing on the day he died.
Wow.
Right? You can just never take your eyes off that lion or off of that boulder because
yeah.
it'll be right there waiting
yeah.
an opportunity. And it's fine because being awake with eyes wide open, paying attention to life, being here to enjoy it, living in gratitude and unconditional love, hey, that's not a hardship. Right? We don't want to be unconscious. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Why would we want to go through life unconscious? No.
You don't.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I am just as happy as I can be for you. This is a great story. Maybe there's nothing going on right now. That's good. But there's been a lot going on, and I'm very happy to hear about it.
Okay, yeah.
So you stay in touch, okay?
Okay, yeah, definitely. I will stay in touch. Thank you guys so much. Have a good night.
Oh, thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jennifer. Great to hear from
you. Now, don't you love that?
Yes, yes. Yep.
Isn't that good? Yep. We can get caught in those places of, is this really working, or I'm not sure. Does it have to be this hard, or isn't there? Well, there we are. There's a very uplifting tale of what's possible for us with awareness practice.
Yes, yes. And it seems that each of us provides that for one another as a role model
mm-hmm.
for what's possible.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
Beautiful. All right, let's talk to another caller here.
All right.
Hey, Sherry, it's Elizabeth.
Hey, Elizabeth. How are you doing?
I'm hanging.
Good, good.
I'm looking at two patterns. Two patterns.
At two what, Elizabeth?
Two patterns.
Two patterns, uh-huh.
Yeah,
okay.
Two patterns. The first pattern is how the wheel of karma frames reality so that I feel criticized or insulted or offended. That's the first pattern.
Yep. Boy, that's a big one to see, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's huge. Yep.
Yeah.
And the other one?
Really hard. And pattern number two is with the wheel of karma framing reality so that there's a person inside who tries really, really hard, and then with whatever effort in life, in any area of life with any effort, and then the wheel of karma frames reality so that then they're crushed because of whatever outcome and result.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you can see that things are framed that way. I mean, in the first one, it sounds like it's more a conclusion with whatever emotions follow that. And then the second one's a very direct, well, crushed. I mean, that's pretty clear, crushed. And so you've seen that this is a pattern, and you've seen that it's karma doing this to you, right? That it's looking through or having karma present this information to you that results in this. And so where does that leave you? How do you approach it then?
I'm not choosing that reality.
Oh, very good.
Sometimes
very good.
I mean, I'm at least consciously. I'm rejecting that. I mean, once I disidentify, shake loose from the
next. Once you recognize what it is that's happening,
then I'm not going to play into that. I'm not going to let the wheel of karma play me like that. But sometimes, I mean, I have every intention, you're not going to play me. You're not going to drag me to hell and all this suffering. But, you know, sometimes I still, there is a part of me, it still gets caught in that web and suffers. Not completely, but I have to, be honest and admit, but sometimes I feel like I'm battling, you're not going to drag me to hell. You're not going to drag me to hell about this, but.
Mm-hmm. And then you can feel it's getting warmer. It's getting warmer. Whoops. Yeah, maybe we're getting close to hell here.
But sometimes, sometimes I, anyway, what the only thing I can do at that point is to say, okay, I'm going to look at this pattern some more.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's the point, Elizabeth. You know, so if I have a karmic pattern, say to feel victimized by people, okay, and so that's a karmic pattern. It's a deep orientation. You know, did I come in with it? Did it, and then it was compounded through my life? Did something happen that initiated it, and then it was compounded through my life? It doesn't really matter. It's deep, right? And it's not, if it were one thing that set it off, it'd be easy. You know, I could just recognize when that person is coming down the street towards me, and I could cross the street and go in a different direction, and no problem. But with something like that, there are multiple triggers, right? All kinds of things can set me off. You know, it's the way somebody looks at me, or the tone of their voice, or they gave me an answer that I didn't expect, or I thought this was going to happen and something else happened. So there could be dozens and dozens and dozens of those things that would set me off into that karmic pattern of feeling victimized. So what to me, what you're describing is you're going along and this karmic pattern plays out and you see it and you recognize it, you realize that happened, and you commit to not falling for that again. And I bet you don't. I bet you don't fall for the same, if we can use this story, you know, the same. So for me, I wouldn't be falling for the exact same trigger every time. I might be being triggered, and I might wind up feeling like a victim. But if I'm seeing what triggered me, then over time, I'm systematically freeing myself from that karmic pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So every time we come to and see it, it's a success. Because this never happened before, right? The voices would say, well, it does, and you fall for this over and over and over, and blah, 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 blah. But we know that's what they do, right? And it's not true. So every time we wake up and see the pattern and commit to looking more closely and not getting fooled again, we're getting a little bit freer.
So you used the word victimization at the beginning, like as you said, you know, if I have patterns of victimization, you were saying that as an example for giving me example for yourself. And then it caught my ear because I brought up two patterns, you know, pattern number one, feeling criticized, offended, insulted, and the second pattern is, you know, trying really hard and then feeling crushed. But I guess they are both patterns of victimization. Like, I guess there's maybe a broader pattern that they both fall under, or maybe suffering and victimization. Patterns of suffering are always patterns of victimization. I'm kind of interested in that.
Well, I think it's an interesting thing that you're looking at because earlier we were looking at that rock that's being pushed up the hill, right? And so that kind of so there's the if we use that one. So there's that rock, and then we realize that rock surrounds another rock. That surrounds another rock, that surrounds another rock, that surrounds another rock, right? So it's layers and layers and layers of this thing that we're pushing up the hill, right? So we see through the first layer, and we can have that misguided sense that, ooh, that's over, done that, finished there. And then we realize, wait a minute, that pattern was actually encasing another pattern, right? So now I've cleared that pattern away. Now I've reached the one that's underneath that. So yeah, it's a really it is a really interesting way to look at karma.
Well, I think that like it seems now it's making, I mean, that there is victimization under all my patterns of suffering that's the underlying, you know, theme. It's the underlying pattern under the pattern, like you're saying. My other question is, like you say, when we're working with these very deep karmic patterns, we kind of have to go take it layer by layer, pattern by sub-pattern by sub-pattern. But then also, sometimes at a workshop, it's confusing because I kind of get the feeling like your message is, well, if we're not living in joy, then we're not practicing, and these kind of messages that are like, you know, do the two-handed recording, and then that's it. If you're still, you know, upset after that, then it's, you know, you're not practicing. So, like, it seems like there's two different messages.
Well, if I may, so when you looked at that and you said, wow, I think I can see how, and I can't remember how you phrased it, but, like, I can see how those two karmic patterns could fit within a larger karmic pattern. Maybe, or underneath those, might be this other karmic pattern, right? When we get to that point with practice, here's my projection, okay?
Okay.
We become more interested in how it's all working than we are willing to suffer over it. So if I'm putting together a puzzle, and it's a, you know, it's a 5,000-piece puzzle, and I think my well-being depends on getting this put together really quickly, probably faster than anybody else, and the voices are goading me with how I'm not good at this and I'm never going to be successful and that sort of thing, then I'm suffering through this process. But if I realize, you know, this is really fun, I'm putting together this puzzle, all of that other stuff is just a bunch of conversation in the head. I'm here. I have this puzzle. I like putting this puzzle together. It's fun. I'm interested in it. Can you see that it's a completely different life experience? So when we get to the point in practice where we're no longer seeing this stuff as an indictment, as something wrong with me or something that I have to fix, or it all makes me terribly miserable, but it's just interesting. Wow. We get to see how human beings are constructed and how life works for a human being. It's really, really interesting. When you get to that point, then you're seeing thing after thing after thing after thing, but it's exciting. It's not upsetting or depressing. So, yes, I would say if we are not having a good time, then we are probably more identified with karmic conditioning and involved with it than we are disidentified from it and kind of dissecting it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me you have moved to the fun of dissection part of the program.
Fun isn't the word I'd use, but thank you.
Mm. Yeah, well, kind of, I like to think about diagramming sentences or, you know, just taking something apart, all the pieces apart, and then seeing how they go together.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Good. Have fun. Have fun looking, okay?
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. Good night. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And, Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor now, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Brucks for Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, how are you, Anna?
Hi, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm just walking around some rock here. And I have headphones on, so I hope you can hear me okay.
Yes, although if you did stop, I bet it would be better for us because there is a...
Okay, hold on 1 second. I'm going to take the headphones off. Actually. Hi. Maybe...
Hi. There you are.
Well, I'm calling despite a lot of confusion and conditioning telling me I don't need... I mean, all kinds of things. That I'm too confused to call and I don't have one particular topic, and so I guess I'm calling about confusion and just feeling stuck. But
tell me what's going on.
As always in my life, I feel like I have a lot of struggle going on, but also a couple of great things happened today in practice for me, so I'm thinking maybe I can for once just focus on those great things. Good thing.
Lovely.
Because usually, yeah, I don't do that as much. For example, today I was on the bus and I had the feeling of unbearableness when the same thing that happened when I was just visiting my family in Germany, and I had a lot of feelings of I couldn't handle it anymore, or it was unbearable, and I had the same feeling today on the bus when somebody was sitting next to me really close, and I was almost saying, can you please sit somewhere else? or I'm going to sit somewhere else because, I don't know, it just felt unbearable to me.
Mm-hmm.
And or whatever conditioning calls unbearable. But then instead of saying something to that person, I focused on the physical sensations in my body that felt unbearable, and then actually it wasn't unbearable anymore.
Aha. Uh-huh. So focusing on the sensations, getting out of the story in your head and focusing on the sensations in your body, it changed the experience.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is big, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to project that what you got out of that is some proof that you could do that anytime with anything, with some practice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry, I have to cry for some reason. The other...
It's big. It's big.
Yeah, not about that, but just other things. No, I forgot what the other thing was.
Just give yourself a minute. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing was just standing up for myself at work, because they sometimes ask me if I can switch days or instead of getting a paid holiday, like they ask me if I can switch days or something like that, and usually I always say yes, okay, but today I said, no, actually, I wanted to enjoy the perk. I can still work the other day, but So it was kind of standing up for myself. Otherwise, you know, I start feeling resentful if it says in my contract I have these little perks once in a while, you know, that...
Yes.
Yeah, so I was proud of it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, to say something. Just,
yeah.
But then afterwards, conditioning right away said, makes me feel angry about that she asks me every time, you know? So conditioning goes, but I guess I don't have to worry about that. That's her thing, if I can just say.
That's right.
You know?
That's exactly right. All of that, right? She's going to ask you, because we're all self-serving, right? She's going to ask you, because maybe you'll say yes. And she doesn't know whether it matters, and she doesn't really care, right? Because she would like you to work, right?
Yeah.
So that's good. That's how we are. We're all, you know, liable to do these things. And nobody needs to take it personally. But what you've realized is what's available to you is to say no.
Yeah.
Right? So she's choosing, kind of sticking up for herself by asking you to do this thing. And you're kind of sticking up for yourself by saying, no, thank you, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And this is good, right? No hard feelings, no need for conversation, and certainly no, you know, conditioning doesn't need to play a part in this, right? But, of course, it always does, because, as we know, it wants you to suffer.
Yeah, it really does.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it really does. It's working at it full time, which is, I would project on it, why this whole thing is kind of emotional, right? Because you're making these changes, and it's big to go up against these kind of entrenched karmic patterns. It's big. Now, again, conditioning would say, oh, it's no big thing. All you did is say, no, you don't want to work. You know, all you did is focus on sensations in your body, and they change. Big deal. Well, it is a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are a bunch of other topics, but I probably ran out of time. So.
Well, the other thing about this that I really want to underline that feels very important to me, because there are three things. You said, you know, these couple of things in practice, right, to focus on these, if you will, positives that happened. And the biggest one of all is choosing to focus on the good things that happen, because conditioning so wants to take that away from you.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there are three big things.
Okay, great.
All right. Well,
all right.
Let's talk again, and we'll talk about those other items.
Yes, great. Thank
all
you.
Right. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks. Good night, Anna. Bye-bye. Night.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. That was a great conversation, Sherry. It's such a privilege to be a part of all this.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, it's great.
Lots of feel-good stories tonight, huh? Lots of people triumphing over egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Yes,
good.
A lot of courage.
Because as you say, say that again, Michael?
A lot of courage and heroism out there.
Yeah, and as you were indicating earlier, you know, it inspires all of us.
Yes. Yes, it does, actually. And as you were both talking, I was picturing my own karmic spots and, you know, seeing how I move through and beyond that. So it is fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All
and
right,
we
got somebody else?
Another caller.
All
yes,
right.
We do. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Chris in Seattle.
Hey, Chris. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm pretty good, thanks. Been trying to get on for a while, but you're popular. So.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
That's a good thing, yeah.
That's a good thing. What's going on?
What is going on? I don't even really. I've been away. I've been not working for the past couple of months because I've had a little on the job injury thing going, and then. But I'm back at it today, and it's all. Oh, I remember what I was talking about. Yeah, it's all. I'm in a new office. I know some of the people there, but it's a new office and it's a whole new neighborhood, and a whole new coverage area that you know I don't even know. And it just occurred to me sort of that, I don't know, things like conditioning is really invested in, I guess the status quo or the familiar or both of those things. Because it's, you know, I was on my previous route for 8 years and, you know, every day, this you know, you have the routine, you go to work, and you see the people you see, and then you do the, and it's all easy, and you don't even have to think, and then da-da-da-da-da, and then you get thrown into another office, you don't know people, you sort of know the routine, because I've been doing this job, you know, for a long time, but, and in the past, when I had to, 10 years ago, I changed offices, and there was a whole, you know, time of anxiety and upset, blah, 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 but, you know, this time, I'm just doing a lot more practicing, and it's been really easy. And then today I had this opportunity that I was just working only in the office, and I was just listening to Open Air for like 2.5 hours on my iPod, and I don't know, it was all good. But this just really noticing how, you know, that whole status quo thing.
Well, you make a really important point, Chris. Egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, loves it when people go to sleep, because then it can be in there. Person doesn't have to pay attention to anything. I know where I am. I know what I'm doing. I know how to do it. I'm on autopilot, right? And then my attention is freed up just to go with conditioned mind, wherever it wants to go and whatever it wants to do. But when things are new, I actually have to pay attention. I have to be present. And that's really bad news for conditioned mind, because it doesn't get to just cruise along and feed itself, right? It kind of has to hide out and go underground and doesn't have as many options to get in there and talk to a person, right? Because I have to be paying attention. I have to be present or I'm going to get lost. I'm going to, you know, wander off, do the wrong thing. And for that reason, so most of people, an awful lot of people really hate change. We'll stay miserable for a long time in order to avoid change. And I'm convinced that what we're talking about right now is the reason for that. It's not that people wouldn't enjoy change. It's that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is so resistant to change and makes a person so miserable through a change that people learn to not want change. But if we realize that change is when we're most present, most attentive, and if we can focus on what's around us instead of the conversation of misery and complaining and conditioned mind, then change is grand. So, you know, to move, to go to a new office, to take new routes to work, to anything that we can do to mix things up so that we're required to be more present really serves us.
Yeah, and I can see that. And it's, what else has happened? There was just a, I don't even know. Oh yeah, I know. I'm also approaching things without trying not to assume I know what's going on in this new office. I've been doing this a long time, and I kind of know how the routines work here and there. But I'm also just making it as what feels to me easy on myself by saying, "Is this what you want me to do? And is that located over there? And you want me to do this?" And just sort of,
yes.
You know. And otherwise, I'd be going up into my head and think, "Well, this like being at the monastery. Oh well, I'll just put this over here because it probably goes there.
Right.
You know, it's
yeah, because that looks
of,
right.
But instead of yeah, but instead of, and I'm just and it's funny because it puts me in contact with a supervisor who's I have a lot of projections about, and so that's interesting in itself, but just communicating regularly and just sort of, I don't know, just sort of,
well,
just not assuming anything is really helpful.
That's right. And that approach, I would project, makes you seem like, to other people, which we happen to know you are, but a nice guy instead of an arrogant jerk, right? The person who comes in and, you know, yeah, I'm new here, but hey, I know what I'm doing, and I don't need to ask you people anything, and I don't need to be sensitive to you. I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to do it my way. You know, that's not going to be a popular person in anybody's book, right? But the person who comes in and is respectful, even though you do know how things work and you've been doing this for a long time, you're respectful that this is their patch and you're the new kid on it. And so you want to fit in. You want to do it their way. You want to be an agreeable person. It's good.
Yeah, conditioning would like to say that instead, it takes a different perspective. As you can imagine, more like I'm asking too many questions and I'm going to look like I don't know anything and then I'm stupid. But I'm not listening. Anyway, I noticed that. But it's I'm just finding it to be so much easier not just to ask questions and
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, and the questions could be I was going to put this here. Is that how you guys like it? You know,
yeah,
so
exactly.
Obviously you had a clue, but you're also open to input.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Cool. And I don't know, you know, people can be annoyed over anything, right? So most of us, especially when we're in conditioning, you know, it's like the line is very, very fine between you ask too many questions and you don't ask enough questions. So if I want to be irritable, I want to be irritated by you, I'm going to figure out a way for you to be doing it wrong. But, you know, that person you can't please anyway. And most people you can please.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's worth the effort. Why not? It's more fun.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
A lot less stressful.
A lot less stressful. Yeah, a lot less stressful. And if somebody says, you ask a lot of questions, don't you? You can say, yes, I'm very inquisitive. I'm very interested.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. True. So you're feeling
right.
Better now?
Yeah.
You're over your injury?
Oddly, not yet. It's a you know, as you might imagine, a overuse repetitive motion type thing in my wrist, and I was taking really good care of it and going to physical therapy. I still am, but even after 2 hours back on the job on Thursday, my first day back, after not using it, it was still sore, which was a little surprising to me. But you know, I'm moving forward and taking care of it, and I'm actually doing a lot of good stuff for it. So it's okay. It's definitely better, and it'll just be a longer road back than I had hoped.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I've managed to avoid
it. Well, you have the good attitude, so that's going to be helpful to everything.
Yes. Wait, say that again. I have what?
Well, the attitude that you have, it's a good attitude. You know, it's gonna take as long as it takes, and I'm gonna do everything I can to take the best care of it I can and make it work and be sensitive to it, and that's really the best we can ever do.
Yes, exactly, and that's the way I'm approaching it and trying not to get because with body issues it's so easy for me and so just to go no this thing and that's gonna last forever and oh no isn't it awful, but no, just definitely just. Do the best thing I can for myself.
Yeah. And as with change, any change, it is an opportunity for us to be more present and pay closer attention. And having that kind of thing actually can be helpful for that because the stakes are high. If I'm not paying attention, I'm going to hurt myself again. So that's an inspiration to be present. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's my right hand. I do it with it. I use it with everything, and so now I'm very conscious of everything I'm doing with it. And then it's definitely an immediate pay attention to this right now kind of situation.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's good to hear from you.
It's good to be heard.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Good night.
Thanks, Sherry. Good night. Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Chris. And that takes us to the top of the hour, Sherry.
Perfect timing, huh?
Perfect timing and a great show and a great practice.
Yes. Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry. Good night.
Talk to you next week. Good night.
Okay. Good night.